You can tell by my appearance that today is Baptism Sunday, and so we're really excited. Today, we're going to be baptizing 10 of our brothers and sisters. So, three in this service, and I heard they're actually all from the same house church, four in the 11:30 service, and then another three in the 3 o'clock service. So we're going to have a full day, and so there's no sermon today, but all the testimonies will be the sermons for us. And I hope that, one, I hope that it encourages you, obviously, and you get to know more of the people at our church, but also I hope it challenges you as well. Sometimes it's really important for us to hear the stories of people's lives, and especially if you've been a Christian for a while, you know, sometimes our walk with the Lord gets a little stale at times, and it's a good reminder of that excitement, or what the Bible will call the joy of our salvation. And so this is why we spend the time doing this. But before we get into the testimonies, which will be very shortly, I just want to just talk very briefly on baptism, just so we're kind of all on the same page. And this is always a really good opportunity for just some little teaching about exactly why we're doing this as a church. But before we get into that, we have a really a special guest today. But our newest church member, Elizabeth, is here. So Sue is back from Korea. And so, can't believe, John, you're a father. Wow. So it's great to have you guys back. And by the way, this is also three sisters from their house church. They're getting baptized, so you guys did a good job. So let me read from Romans chapter 6. This is just two verses, 3 and 4. And it says, this is Paul's letter to the Romans, and it says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." And this is really one of the central texts in the scriptures that talk about really the significance of baptism. We know there's other passages about why we should do that. You know, Jesus tells us in the Great Commission to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is a command, but I want to deal a little bit more with the significance of why we do this. Baptism is a public confession of our faith, and that's what our sisters are going to do in a moment. But it's really a spiritual marker in our lives. And you can tell by the shirts that we have, it says, "I have decided." It becomes a point. Now, the salvation moment may have been elsewhere, but the public confession becomes this point right now. And it's their way of saying, I mean, in a very simple terms, that there's something that's going on inside of me, and I've experienced God, I have a relationship with Jesus, and now because of something going on inside of me, I want to make an outward profession of my faith. And really, just kind of an easy way of saying that, it's an outward sign of inward regeneration. In other words, Holy Spirit, God is doing something inside of me, and this is my outward sign of what's happening inside. Now, baptism, in the way that Paul writes here, baptism is a perfect picture of the Christian life. In baptism, in this act of baptism, that you have the death, and that's dying to our old self. You have the burial of being in Christ, and then the resurrection of being alive in him, and also our future resurrection that's tied in together. And so it's our death, it's our burial, and it's our resurrection. And that is really the picture of what we do. We go into the water, we're in the water, and don't worry, we don't stay longer if you're more sinful. You know, it's really quick and stuff. And though there's a few guys that I may keep down a little bit longer, but not you three, you guys are fine. And then it's resurrection, and coming out is, we're talking about this newness of life that we have in Christ. And that's really the picture of all that's here. Now, baptism, and this is a really important theological point, is the easy way to say is we don't get baptized to be saved. It's very important. We are saved by grace alone. Ephesians 2:8-9 is by grace that we are saved. And so we don't get baptized to be saved, but the way we explain it at our church is, but we get baptized because we are saved. is because it's an outward expression, outward demonstration, again, of inward rejection. No, 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 God did something in me. God's doing something in my life. I made a decision for the Lord, and this is my outward confession of that decision. And that's really all we're doing today. And one of the things that we value in our church is community. And so we want this to be a communal activity, like our infant dedications that we do, because we believe that this is just the beginning of that journey. And so we as a body together, body ministry, the priesthood of all believers, that we're all responsible for the care and the shepherding of their souls. And they're growing in Christ. And so what we're going to do is each of our members comes up to share their testimony. In other words, the big question and the way that we frame it for them in the baptism class is, do you have a believable profession of faith? And so, and that's part of the testimony. And then we as a body, we basically agree to add them into the body of Christ in community in that way. And so after they share their testimony, I'm going to ask you if they, and I'm not going to say the whole phrase, but if they have a believable profession of faith and you say amen, and then we're going to dunk them in the water a little bit. One of the aspects here, you know, that public speaking is not easy. And I know I'm making it harder for you guys right now. According to all the psychological studies and whatnot, public speaking is one of the most scariest things you have to go through. And so what I want you guys to do is when they come up to the stage, I want you to smile. Let's practice that. Look at each other and smile. Look like you're happy. Don't be one of these guys, you know, oh, I dare you to bless me, you know, kind of thing. Smile. Even if they crack a semi-joke, laugh. Laugh like it's the funniest joke you've ever heard in your life. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. But let the joy of the Lord, and really, this is such an incredible moment for our sisters here, and let the joy of the Lord be our strength, and let's really encourage them as they come out, and, you know, let them know, man, we're on your side. You know, we're with you the whole way. We're going to continue to be with you during this whole process, and we just rejoice in your testimony and rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for your life and in the life of your family. And so let's really have a real spirit of encouragement as they go up, so there's, you know, there's no fear and no nerves or, you know, anything like that, and just really bless them. I'll say for the ladies, and I don't know if you guys touched this in the baptism class, but if you start crying, just go with it. Okay, don't try to stop it because it's going to just take longer. And so you cry, just let it out. Just have a big cry, and then we'll wait for you, and we'll rejoice, and then you can continue on in your testimony. I'm not saying that you have to do that, but, you know, the worst is when people are trying to stop crying, and it takes forever, you know, so just let it out. Just let it out. It's okay. You're in good hands and good company here. One of our values at our church is also prayer. And so what we're going to do is your friends are here, and they're going to pray for you. And so we have two lines. We have a sending line and a receiving line. And so the sending line is right there in that small mat there. And so this is when your house church members, family members, you guys can come and just surround and lay hands on them. He give you as much time as you need. Prophesy over them. Bless them. You know, let the Lord speak to you through scriptures and visions and, you know, and whatever gifts the body is really brought together, and just bless them. And then you'll send them out into the water. And then when they come out, you receive them as well and just love on them. Bless them some more. Congratulate them. And let this be a really festive time for us to celebrate together with the Lord. Amen? Does that sound good? Okay, and so, afterwards, the worship team will be here, and they'll be leading us in worship, so let this be a really worshipful experience. If you want to take pictures and whatnot, feel free, okay? I know this is an important moment in everyone's life, and especially for their families, and so you can do whatever you want to come. Just don't come on the stage. To take the pictures. Just go around. You can stand around there. The camera will be facing the pool, so you can watch it on the screen. But if you want to take photos, feel totally free to do that. If you want to come on stage, just over there you can, but please don't interfere with the worship team if you want to take that high angle. I know some of you guys are photographers here. But Pastor Ricky, we have a photographer, and he's going to take pictures all throughout, and so we'll post them on our website and all those things, okay? I think I pretty much did everything. So let me pray for us first as we get going, and let's really encourage our sisters, three of them that will be coming up. And so, Father, we thank you, God, for the incredible privilege that you give us as a community to baptize 10 of our church members today, Lord. And we are so grateful for the work that you've been doing in their lives, God. You're always at work around them, God, and that you have pursued them, Lord, for so long. And now they come to this place where they confess, God, before men, God, the decision they've made for you. And so we pray for a real spirit of rejoicing and celebration and encouragement, God. And we just lift up Common, God, and Cindy and Winnie. And as they share their hearts with us and their testimonies, Lord, let the anointing just flow through them, God. Let their lives, their testimonies really touch us and especially touch your heart, God. And so we thank you. We bless you, God. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, morning, everyone. Thanks for coming today. My name is Carmen. Just to let you know, I'm pretty nervous right now. And a normal person heart rate should be ranged from 60 to 100. And I'm 134 right now. Okay, let's start my sharing. I born and raised in Hong Kong. Life is pretty comfortable for me, and I always have a very close relationship with my family. I went to a Catholic school. I learned what is Jesus and Bible when I was very young, but I never feel the connection with God till a few years ago. So what is the turning point is my grandma suddenly got very sick in early 2013. We were being told that she was in the final stage of her cancer and there's nothing we can do because of her age. This is the very first time I found myself occupied by massive fear and thought of losing the loved one. During the time, I was being invited to a church in Causeway Bay by my friend Anna. I went there for a year for a Sunday service. I started reading the Bible. By January 2014, I came to SP with my fiancé. Life has been quite a roller coaster ride in my life since then because a year and a half later, my father got into an accident, and a few months later, he passed away. What makes it even more sad is my grandma also passed away 3 weeks ahead. I lost two most important person in my life within such a short period. Everyone has their lower point, like getting fired, getting injury, maybe ending in a relationship. But for me, losing my dad and grandma at the same time was definitely the biggest challenge of life. At the beginning, I couldn't even talk to people on my situation, and I lost my confidence and passion. I'm very insecure and depressed. I remain very silent. I would go to bed at night and cry myself to sleep. In this moment of uncertainty and frustration, there are always two options. Either run away from God or run to Him even more closer. By God's grace, I choose to run to Him. God has put His hand on me, which gave me courage to face the challenges and able to move forward. This is in particular a scripture in Bible really hits me. Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. It's talk about how Jesus climbed a storm. One evening, Jesus was on the boat with the disciple, and a great storm of wind arose, and the wave beat into the boat. Disciples were very scared, so they woke Jesus up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up and said to the wave, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped immediately, and it was completely calm. Jesus talked to the disciple, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus is so powerful and real, right? Even wind and wave have to listen to him. But this message also showed me no matter how scary of the situation is, Jesus didn't leave the disciple. He is still the captain of the boat, and he's in control of everything. I believe it's applied the same for us. No matter how difficult the situation we are facing, Jesus is still with us. And through difficulties, it enabled our faith to go stronger for the next time. I still miss my dad and grandma terribly. This is a hole in my family. But God does know how I feel. He has made it so clear to me that he loves me more than I can comprehend. The comfort doesn't come quickly or easily, but by slowly in many ways through reading the Bible, prayer, Alpha and GIC class, through other people around me, especially the house church family. God has put his arm around me and held my broken heart to heal. He was there all along. I just have to open up to him. There are two things I experienced the most in the past few years. The first thing is God answers every prayer, but he doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no or wait. But remember that God knows more than I do. So don't stop prayer if I think God hasn't answered my prayers. The second one is prayer for his wisdom, comfort, and peace rather than prayer that he just simply remove my difficulties. It helps me to grow in faith and courage. Faith is not something I lose, but it's always something I choose. If you are going something difficult today or still searching for something in your life, it requires a step of faith and prayer. Prayer that we have faith in the goodness of care of God in our life. Prayer that we love Jesus and Jesus really loves us too. Rely on God in every single moment and he will direct you your path. Remember, this boat will never sink and the storm will not last forever because Jesus loves you. Today I'm excited to get baptized because I want everyone to know that I love him. I accept him, and I want to walk the rest of my day with him here on earth and in heaven. Amen.
Wow. That's some great preaching. Did you guys catch that? Faith is not something you lose. It's something you choose. I was like, let's pass the offering basket again. Hallelujah. That was awesome. I'm going to remember that one. Do you receive a comment as your sister in Christ? Amen. Thank you. Good job.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Cindy. So as a disclaimer, you might notice throughout my testimony, I might be referring myself as we a lot, and that is because I have a twin sister whom I grew up extremely closely with and who is also getting baptized with me today. So, from when we were born, I remember attending church every Sunday with my parents. I grew up in a Christian family where my parents, I remember my first baptism was when my dad got baptized when I was 6 or 7. My grandparents, my uncles, and my aunts, they're all Christians. I attended Sunday services. I joined the church choirs growing up. However, I think my parents made a good decision and didn't have us baptized because they wanted to let the decision come from ourselves. So we were essentially never really pressured to. So fast forward to college time, where I guess for the first time for most people, I got to make decisions on how to spend my weekends. Somehow, waking up early on Sundays for church became a choice. And I thought the laziness got the best of me. So I made excuses for myself that I haven't really found a church that I liked enough to attend when I was living in Seattle or in Chicago for the past 12 years. But at the same time, I still thought of myself as a Christian because I prayed before I sleep. I prayed to thank God before my meals, and especially when I need to ask him for his help before exams, flights, or stressful situations. And I knew I mainly turned to him when I needed something. So growing up in church, it sounds normal to me, and I was just one of those that attended weekly, like a Sunday ritual, without really knowing who God was in my life. So everything changed for me in 2012. One of the biggest events was getting married with my college sweetheart, and he moved to Hong Kong from Dubai for me, where he was working at that time. But at the same time, I was accepted to start an MBA program in the UK, a month right after the wedding. And I debated and, of course, prayed to God and asked if I should go or if I should stay in Hong Kong to be with my newly wedded husband. And I remember asking my husband at that time if he would mind that I leave for a year right after the wedding. I remember that he said to me he would support my dreams no matter what, and so I went. I didn't know at that time what God was planning in my life to bring me back to him. And there was actually 3 seeds that he planted, and when I was thinking back, they were all such amazing gift that God has prepared for me. the first seed was that it was actually my first time in a new country without my twin sister. But immediately I met two girls in my program that became my sisters. And they, amazingly, they stayed in my dorm in the same program as me, and one of which lived right next to me. Both of them were such strong Christian women, and I have to say, play a really huge role in bringing me back to God. They encouraged me weekly to join them for church, which in the beginning few months, I was still thinking of excuses not to attend. And by the time of when the program ended, I basically was attending church with them weekly. And I remember that even when we went for a very short trip to Denmark, they wouldn't miss service. So we attended a service in Danish. And at that time, I was thinking it was a 2 days trip, and we went for half the day to a Sunday service. But I think that I saw in them how each has such an intimate relationship with God through their priorities and through their actions. And the second seed, which was also amazing, was that when I was in UK, God has planted a church for me in Hong Kong. So I met David Wu, who was not in my program, but amazingly was staying in the same college as me, and at a social dinner set right across from me. And the first thing he asked me when he knew that I was from Hong Kong is that if I wanted to attend Solomon's Porch after we finished our year in the UK. And the third seed for me, one that I most definitely did not expect to foresee coming, was my husband calling me in March 2013. He said I would never have guessed what happened. His dad had a long talk with his Christian friend and for the past 10 years, and he was convinced the power of Jesus and became a Christian. My husband is Japanese, and some of you might know Japan is one of the countries with the lowest population of Christians in a developed country. So in that 1 year, I went thinking that I was there to gain a degree, but actually when I look back, God planned for me to go to the UK so I can re-meet our father and feel his presence. And when I moved back to Hong Kong, sure enough, David called me within a month and invited me to SP. SP is a church that is very different from the ones that I grew up attending. It's the place that Christ started to be real for me and when my faith became personal and not just a part of my family. I felt the change in me when I look forward to attending churches on Sundays and house church on Thursdays. And my house church family was more than just a place where I can learn more about God through developing deeper relationship with my brothers and sisters, but they were really a pillar of support. I've grown to depend on them, and I know that I have an instant access of over 10 people praying for me through a house church chatting group. So when my grandma was battling kidney dialysis for the past over 10 years, and in the past 2 years with cancer as well, it was at SP that I was comfortable enough to share with my house church and also eventually with my GIC class, and also in EMP and many others at church. And I knew my grandma was covered in prayers, and I witnessed the love and healing power of God through my brothers and sisters, which allowed her to overcome a very life-threatening complication in surgery. When she passed away in March, my house church family and church family were the ones that covered us in prayers, and I knew that without my SP family, my grandma might have went to our Lord a year or two earlier. Through SP and through my brothers and sisters, I'm getting to know who God is in my life. And throughout the last year, I understand that it's not really just all about asking God for things that I need. And that's what orphans do. So they reap the benefits without sacrifice. Now when I pray, I ask God for a hearing heart. And I ask God for a hearing heart and not just blessings from God. And before I became a daughter of this church, I admit that I was always one of the ones that were late to service. And God again does wonders, and I joined the barista ministry and also the meet and greet through invitations from his faithful servants, faithful son and daughters of SP. And because of that, I'm now at least 45 minutes early to service. So God does a lot of wonders in my life, and he places a lot of people throughout my life to bring me back to him. And for me as a Christian, I know that Christ lives in me, because I have seen and experienced the love and power of God all throughout my life. And today is really one of the happiest days in my life, as I've come to believe, as Jesus demonstrated, that baptism is an important step. And I want to be baptized today in front of my family, in front of my husband, who flew in from Japan, my parents, my uncle, my closest friends who came here, and some of them who are here for the first time to SP, all my house church brothers and sisters who are all here to celebrate with me, a symbol of my sins being washed away and a celebration of the start of my new life with Christ in me.
Oh, thank you. Did you hear that? Early to church. You guys in the back, you guys catch that? Early to church. Just want to say that again. Hey, where's your husband? Hey, it's great to meet you. We'll pause. Wow, your husband sounds like an awesome guy. Huh? Hey, so do you receive Cindy as your sister in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.
Great job.
Good morning, everyone. I woke up super excited this morning and, of course, a little bit nervous. And I apologize in advance that you guys might hear a lot of repeats because Cindy and I did share pretty similar lives. So here it goes. Like many of us here, I was born into a Christian family. My mom's side of the family are all Christians, and my dad's side, more than half, are as well. My sister and I grew up attending church with our parents every week since we were young in Hong Kong, and even when we moved to Canada, going to church every Sunday never changed. When my sister and I moved to Seattle for high school, we stayed with our uncle and his family, and they were a really strong Christian family. Our church lives blossomed from once or twice a week to sometimes the whole weekend, Friday through Sunday, attending church activities. Despite the fact that I'm not an early riser and I love sleep, I've never really questioned why I had to go to church, as I've accepted it as just part of life, a routine. It was not until we entered college and moved out from my uncle's watchful eyes that we gradually stopped going to church. Of course, like Cindy mentioned, we always had a ton of excuses, and since we were already considered adults, our uncle stopped pushing us and allowed us to make our own decisions. Obviously, dating non-Christian boyfriends throughout college also contributed to me not wanting to go to church, so I could spend my Sundays going to brunches, movies, or simply doing nothing. In my mind, as I faded out of my church life, I remember feeling occasionally guilty, but that quickly got pushed out of my head as it didn't seem like anything in my life had drastically changed from not going to church. In fact, I felt better, more energized, as I get to sleep in on both days, on the weekends, and I had more freedom with my Sundays now open. Despite not going to church, I still felt like I was a Christian, though, as I still prayed before each meal and going to bed. I had convinced myself that as long as I kept my communication with God going through prayers and I was behaving in a Christian way, not going to church was not a big deal. This church-skipping phase lasted and continued even after I graduated from college. To be honest, deep in my heart, I knew God was always in my heart and in my life. How did I know this? Well, I find myself going to him whenever I was in times of need, like Cindy, asking for wisdom and for better memory before tests, asking for confidence whenever I had presentations, and also for comfort when I went through breakups. All this, when I think back, I happily took for granted, as God has always given me what I asked for and more. I do remember at times I wondered, if God really wanted me to go back to church, he would give me a sign, but since life was going the way I wanted, it must mean I'm doing everything right and don't really need to go. Fast forward a few years, and I moved to Chicago for work. It was during this time that I thought, finally, God is giving me a sign to go back to church. A month after I moved, I met and started dating a guy at work who was a strong Christian and was even an elder at his own church. The only downside was that he lived in New York while I was in Chicago. I started visiting him more in New York and attended his church on Sundays. It felt good, and my years of feeling of guilt slowly dissolved. However, as most of you might have experienced, long-distance relationships don't always last. So my boyfriend and I at the time broke up after a short 8 months. I was devastated, angry, and bitter, and I did not turn to God for help, as I was mad he had sent me someone I thought he finally approved, yet to take him away. I still did go pray before I go to bed, but it was more out of habit. Months and the years passed, my anger and misery lifted, and my life was back on track. I fell in love with a really great and close friend who had always been there for me, my now husband Yoshi, and after spending a few amazing years in Chicago together, we started planning our move back to Hong Kong, because Cindy and I have always planned to go back so we could spend more time with my grandma and my parents. I still didn't really give going back to church much thought, although God was really good to me. He arranged a great job offer for me in Hong Kong, and the transition was really smooth. And I also believe it was my laziness that got the better of me, when I thought I deserved sleeping in on both weekend days since I have to wake up for work at 5:50. Religion was also never really a topic of conversation at work. For the first few years, work was so fast-paced and stressful, I often forgot to pray before lunch when I was at work. A coworker that I ran into at one time surprised me, and I was taken back when he said he never knew I was a Christian. It made me think, was I not acting Christianly enough at work? The remark did offend me a little bit, but I brushed it aside. It was not until my sister went to the UK for school and met David Wu, which she learned when she learned of SP. I guess she's already shared her, was the story background behind that in her own testimony earlier. So after visiting SP a few times, we knew that we found a place where we belonged. Over the last 2.5 years, the people, the pastors, Elements House Church, and finally GIC last summer brought me home. I could feel a change in myself at work and at home, and I knew deep down inside it's the Holy Spirit working inside me. How did I know this? Well, I never got the grand sign that I thought I would get, like a lot of the amazing testimonies I've previously heard. But when I look closely back over my 33 years of life, I realize I've had numerous and continuous signs of God, that he had always been with me, and church has always been a home in my heart. From the moment he brought my life into a Christian home so I would get to know him, to attending kindergarten in my grandma's church where we got our values and upbringings, and to parents and uncles who took us to church every week so we can learn his words. It's true that I strayed away for a number of years, but God never gave up on me, and my life has been a smooth ride so far. He's given me everything I've asked for. Over the last few years, there were times, time and time again, where my grandma was in critical condition and was not going to make it. Thanks to SP's continuous prayers and support, God healed her so she can attend my wedding, and she was able to spend 3 more years with us after that. God also gave me an amazing husband who loves me, and despite he is not yet a believer, he is supportive of me going to church, and he loves my house church family. All this because I prayed and asked, and he gave them to me unconditionally. I believe my turning point was GIC class last summer. Committing to waking up early on Saturdays for 2 months and weekly verse memorization plus homework would have been an immediate no for me a few years ago. But throughout the course, I found myself looking forward to discussions, made amazing new friends from the class that I've shared an incredible bond with, and my confidence in my faith grew as I learned more of his words. My husband also noticed a change in me as he knows I love my sleep. I became committed to going to church every Sunday and signing up for the coffee ministry so I can give back to SP. This also ensures that we don't miss church if I'm scheduled for coffee service. In my workplace, it also felt like an invisible door had opened in my heart. I was happy to do my GSE homework at my desk during lunch, and even got my coworkers to help me with memorizing my weekly verses. This change in me, where I was happy to publicly let my workplace know of my religion, surprised me. And I hope my actions and behavior at work now made sense to my coworkers, why I don't swear like the other guys, and why my old boss labeled me as everyone's mom as I often sprung to defend whoever was being attacked. So why do I want to be baptized now? Recently, I found my prayers have changed. No longer am I asking only God, am I only asking God to give. My prayers of request are now prayers of thankfulness. I'm thankful for everything the Lord has blessed me with. Loving parents and family who has given me everything since I was born. Time spent with my grandma up to the minute she passed away. A supportive and devoted husband who would give me everything he has. A stable and great career that I'm proud of. I want everyone around me, my friends, my family, my work, to all know that God has given me and that he is the one that shaped me the way I am today. And I am overjoyed to dedicate my life to him.
Amen. Do you receive Winnie as your sister in Christ? Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
My name is Sally. I'm getting baptized today. Super excited. Yay! So for those of you who don't know me, I was born in China. I went to school in Canada and now working in Hong Kong. I wasn't raised as a Christian, but growing up, I attend churches on and off, and I basically go anywhere with an invitation, not because of out of obligation, it's just curiosity, you know, to find out what's going on. And however, those things that were taught at church never really resonate with me. You know, Bible story just sounds like a myth or, fairy tale that had nothing to do with my life. So I was born in the 80s in China. So I'm one of the spoiled single children in China, you know. And my parents ran a successful business. So as the only child in the family, I was living a pretty good life by most people's standard. We had a big extended family that every one of them was just so loving and caring, you know. So life is just so perfect and it's just beautiful, and there seems no need for God. In the summer of 2007, a tragedy hit my family. My mom passed away because of medical malpractice. It shocked the entire family and was so sudden that I couldn't even process it. I didn't even cry. So my father was devastated, and I had to take over the role to deal with the hospital, the lawyers and the media, because the accident was actually reported on the news and some of the mass media. So I went from being a spoiled, immature person to a person who has to grow up overnight and learn how to take on responsibility to take care of the family. And because of that, I told myself that I do not have luxury to be vulnerable, not even a hug for myself. So at the same time, the most beloved family from my mother's side turned against me and my father, including my grandma, that who trying to actually get their hand on my mom's legacy. So there was a lot of lies, betrayal, even attack, you know. So every relationship that I believe and every things that I trust is just not the way that I thought they were. So my world just, I felt it just like my world were turned upside down. So my image of the perfect world I used to have, it just like shattered. So at one point I felt like that I'm going to collapse because the pain was just so much for me to bear. So instead of dealing with it, for so many years, I have numbed the feelings and also shut myself down and built a wall around myself to basically not to get any hurts. So, but what I didn't recognize is actually at the same time, I also shut down the ability to love. So, because in fact, you cannot selectively numb one feeling without numbing the other emotion, including love. So I know deep down in my heart, I've been crying out for love. So God heard my cry. He brought me to SP in May 2014 through Shanti Ministry. And a few months after I joined church, SP launched the first season of Alpha. So I signed up for it. Because I was told it's mandatory. It's like Christian 101. I was like, okay. So when I first joined Alpha, I was quite skeptical. Because these people with happy, smiling face, they keep telling me how much God loved me and how they love me. And I was like, you for real? Right? But I didn't say it out loud, of course. This actually got me thinking of the question that, God, if you're so loving and caring, and why did you let all this happen to my family? And where have you been, like, all this year, during the most difficult time in my life? So, I wasn't being sarcastic, actually, or bitter. I generally asking him about this question. So around halfway of the Alpha, we had a retreat, which you can get pray over. So during the prayer session, like, two of my Alpha leader pray over me. So as soon as the prayer started, I felt this warm turbulence stirring in my heart. And there was a giant hand slowly touch me from behind and then gently enter my body. And then I all of a sudden was stop bawling and bawling. And it's only because I was filled by God's love and His perfect love. He also answered my question that night that by reminding me of a story called Footprint in the Sand. the story where God says, "My precious child, I love you. I will never leave you during your time of suffering where you saw only one set of footprints. It was then I carry you." So God's presence and love were just so thick and tangible that night. So I gave my life to Christ that night. It was November 1st, 2014. So with his perfect love, my fear cast out, and I built my wall, the wall that I built it around myself, that it's not only unleashed ability for me to receive love and also to love the others. He has given me the courage to actually stand here today to share all this after 9 years of my mom's passing. So my journey following God wasn't easy, actually. So some of you knew that my dad also passed away last year around this season due to lung cancer. So God has never promised us a life that is easy, but he promised a life that with joy and peace when even things are difficult. So to a worldly standard, I become an orphan, but I didn't feel like one because God has adopted me into his family. He also blessed me with a spiritual family that who loved me unconditionally. So I have already taken a lot of time, I know that, but I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all those who have prayed for me and my dad and my family. It meant a lot to me, actually. So I just can't thank God enough for what he has done to me, but I thank him for choosing me as his disciple. So here I am, Lord, today. I've decided to surrender myself to you 100%. Thank you, and I love you.
Amen. So, SP, do you receive Sally as your sister in Christ? Amen, amen.
Hello, everyone. Before I start sharing, I just want to thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to share today. And it's really a joy to share in front of SP, friends, and family. So for me, life before Christ was actually not too bad. Born and raised in Hong Kong, grew up in a traditional Chinese family, where my family and I would go to the temples during the Chinese holidays and festivals to worship the idols and burn incense sticks. It felt very normal back in the day because that's what my family did and practices. But ironically, I also went to a Catholic grade school where I studied the Bible at a very young age and also learned how to pray and had a sense of who God really is. I remember that at age of 8, when I was running around on the basketball court during recess time and I felt and hurt my knee pretty bad. I went to the first aid station and got patched up and then went back to the classroom for class. When the teacher first came in and saw I was hurting, she immediately asked the whole class to pray for me. And then after the prayer, I didn't feel any pain at all. So ever since then, I knew there is a God, and I know and experienced the power of prayers. And now, fast forward to the age of 15, my family decided to move to the state where my uncle used to live, in the state of Wisconsin, to start a new life together. After a few months, my parents had decided they wanted to come back to Hong Kong because it wasn't working for them. But I already started as a sophomore in high school, so I decided to stay in the States with my uncle. School and life in general were actually going pretty good until the senior year of high school. Actually, things went south for me. After coming home 15 minutes late from a school dancing event, my uncle actually kicked me out. And he said that he will give me a one-month notice to find a new place to live or go back to Hong Kong. And that day was very heartbreaking for me. I still remember it's like yesterday. I felt very sad, lost, and betrayed. I was crying on my bed that night and with total desperation, don't know what I'm going to do next. Keep in mind that they're my only relatives in the States. Then I started to pray that the way that I used to remember back in grade school, asking God for help. So at that point, actually, it was a turning point in my life. The following school week, actually, I was still feeling very lost. I don't want this to just end yet. I make some good friends, I make some money on the side, and I also wanted to at least finish high school. I remember staying at a study hall with some of my good friends, Two of them are actually currently still my best friends. One of them was Jarrell Imontis, and one of them was Jason Decker. I was telling them what happened, and they were both very shocked. And they were both very shocked, and out of the blue, Jason said, "Let me talk to my parents and see if they can help." So next week comes along, I went to his house, met his parents, and I told him what happened. At the end, they agreed for me to stay with them. As many of you might think, that's actually a genuinely nice people that they extended their hands to help me. Of course, that was, no doubt about it. But also, they brought me to church, and most important, to know Christ. They never asked me to do anything for them or give them money. They simply asked me to be a good young man and also be a faithful son of the Lord Jesus. Before graduating from high school, I asked the Deckers family if it's okay for me to stay with them until I found something during college. And they said it's okay for me to stay as long as I wanted without any hesitations. A few years later, on February 12, 2007, something really terrible that happened to the family. My friend Jason, the one who brought me to his family, had an older brother named Stefan. As I mentioned, we lived in the state of Wisconsin where we can get a feet of snow in such a short period of time. So on that morning, we had a heavy snowstorm, and as Stefan was driving to work that morning, his car lost control and hit the snow plow truck coming on the opposite directions. One of those big orange snow plow trucks, if you guys have seen it before. The ambulance came right away and took him to the hospital because he suffered multiple brain injuries, so he was transferred to the ICU immediately. His parents and many of his relatives rushed to the hospital in a short period of time. His brother Jason was actually an active duty Marine at the time serving in Iraq, but he heard from the chain of command that told him that something has happened to his brother back in the state, so he needs to come home. After a few days, Jason came back to the state and see his brother for the last time. Stefan left us and be with the Lord 8 days after the accident. So during that time, actually, I had a lot of struggles because I was questioning God why he would let that happen. I even questioned myself, is it a punishment to the family because they had saved me? And also, Stefan and his girlfriend had a 10-month-old baby at the time, which the baby would never know who his father is. So many questions and emotions really devastating during that period of time. But then I also saw how God's heart moving in his parents' heart. They didn't blame anyone on the snow plow truck driver. They didn't go after the state or the county. They simply accepted Christ and knowing Stefan is with him. At his funeral, I had the honor to speak about what a nice guy he was, and he has always treated me as his real brother. And now every year, his parents and his family would go back to the hospital to thank the doctors and the nurses on the day that he passed. And also, they would clean up the highway 4 times a year. So let that sink in for a moment. To me, I think that's God's grace at its finest. And it's a constant reminder for us that there's nothing so certain in life, but God's grace is always sufficient. And I'll always be with the family when they need it. So I end up living with the family, the Deckers family, on and off until 2012 for 8 years. I could never imagine what life would be like if God didn't speak to Jason and his family's hearts back in high school. They taught me so much that beyond words that I can put in here. So beside my love for my family and also my love for the Lord, I have the utmost respect for the family, Cindy and David Decker. Even a stranger like me was saved by Christ through a family that I've never met before. And for the uncle who kicked me out back in high school, it's probably the best thing that's ever he had done for me. Otherwise, I would never have experienced God the way that I did. It's funny, right? So after graduating from college, I moved to Chicago, hoping to have a fresh start of a career. Unfortunately, my career didn't go anywhere, so I decided to come back to Hong Kong. And then in 2012, I also started coming to SP, and I felt like home instantly. Thank you, Pastor Sam. And now I have a decent job. My parents are happy. I also found my girlfriend who's sitting here with us today, and which we will be getting married this fall. Praise God. I just want to quickly thank you for always challenging me intellectually and also encouraging me spiritually. You make me strive to be a better man every single day. The reason I want to get baptized today is because... the reason I want to get baptized today is because I made the decision to follow Christ since the age of 18. That's something that's always been on my mind, but I've never had the will to do so. This year, I really felt the Holy Spirit has asked me to get baptized simply out of obedience. I also want to set an example as a good husband and also most important for our future kids. Lastly, I want to thank my house church, McCain House Church, especially my house church leaders, Jimmy, Boyan, and KJ. Where are you guys? Hey, guys. Thank you so much for the encouragement and giving us the opportunity to get together every week to pray for one another. You guys are amazing, and thank you so much for allowing us to share every single week. I have a lot of respect for you guys, and keep doing what you guys are doing. It's really working. And that's the end of my testimony and sharing. Thank you so much.
Hey, amen. That was awesome. That's a good job, Warren.
Thank you.
All right, do you receive Warren as your brother in Christ?
Yes.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Lisa. I come from a non-Christian family. None of my parents are religious. Growing up in mainland China, I got educated to be an atheist. I tended to believe that man has control of the world and can conquer everything. Having luckily progressing well in the education system, I didn't have much doubt about it. Attending university in Hong Kong exposed me to Christianity, as the college I went to is a Christian one. I was living in a Christian named hostel, and I was attending the weekly assembly in chapel. But it was until I knew my boyfriend back then, that I started to know more about God through SP and through Causeway House Church. With more and more Christians around, I feel that it's really a very tight and caring community that I constantly receive the overflowing love. One incident let me further experience God at a personal level. That was 1.5 years ago. My husband got diagnosed of a severe heart condition, which required emergency operation. So I searched the medical terms online, and the condition actually got a nickname, which is Widowmaker. I couldn't sleep at night. I don't know what to do. What I could only do is pray for God's blessing over him and over our family. Back then, my daughter was only 6 months old, and I was still breastfeeding. I couldn't imagine what would happen if the condition was not discovered in time or the operation didn't go well. But luckily, God heard the prayer from me and from the house church members, and he blessed my husband with a successful operation and speedy recovery. So with the gratitude toward God, I continued my journey through ARVA as guided by Ken and Li Shen. So ARVA is really an amazing program that leads me closer to God. It raises questions that I never thought before, such as, why is Bible the most popular book in history? And it also led me to wonder whether Chinese ancestors have the same Christian root. After accepting God and the ARVA retreat, I started to build a closer relationship with God through praying, through attending church, and reading Bible. I'm so happy to receive message from God, and I feel his love, and I get this inner peace and the sense of fulfilling. I thank all the brothers and sisters, especially Alpha Group, Causeway House Church, Discovery House Church, that leads me on the journey. I also thank my husband for the patience and guidance all these years. Now I believe I'm ready for baptism, as I would like to acknowledge God in all my ways and trust the Lord in all my heart. Thank you.
Amen. Wonderful. Good job, Clement. She's a little emotional over there. Praise God. Do you receive Lisa as your sister in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle, and first of all, I would like to thank God for this wonderful opportunity to be here this morning, and also for giving me courage to come up here to share my testimony with everyone. Me and my husband have been coming to SB for about 4 years, and 2 years ago, Peter came up to me and said, hey, I'm so convicted by God's love and blessing for us, so I decided to get baptized. Would you like to get baptized with me? And he was waiting for my response with a big smile. And I was like, okay, well, no, thanks. At that time, I told him I don't feel comfortable speaking in front of everyone, and please don't force me to do something that I don't feel comfortable with. And but I'm very happy for you, you know. But but this time, when I actually wanted to get baptized, I realized that the reason why I refused to get baptized back then was not because of the fact that I had to make a public speaking, but it was about myself not knowing what to testify. And I'm very thankful that God has written a beautiful story for me to share with everyone here today. I grew up going to church since I was little, so very early on in life, I learned about Christ and then the teachings of the Bible. But that was it. To me, church was a place where I go on Sunday, worship, and hang out with friends. I have never really seriously thought about what I believe in, and I never really understood or experienced God. God was just a God who I go confess my sins to and ask for forgiveness every Sunday just to make myself feel better. Whenever people ask me about my faith, my response was, I go to church. I never said, yes, I'm a Christian or I believe in Jesus. That was it. It was all about me and my needs, and never about God. So many years I have lived self-centered life and have repeatedly taken it for granted. But everything went so well that I didn't believe that I needed changes in how I had lived my life. Sorry. I was so blind and foolish in that I was not able to see that my life was good because of God's grace and love for me, even during the times I have ignored him. But God is great. He forgave me and welcomed me and gave me a chance to truly experience him. I've been married for about 5 years now. And for the first 3 years, I was the breadwinner of the family as Peter was studying in a medical school. And at the beginning of our marriage, everything was great. We were happy. I was happy that I was able to I was able to support us as a family. But because of the environment I was in with work and the amount of work I had, the crazy working hours and the busy environment, no time to enjoy my life, I was exhausted and started to feel like I was just a machine making money to survive. I also started to hate living in Hong Kong, and I was not able to control the stress from work. And I felt like my husband is just busy pursuing his dream, and then I'm here stuck because of him. So all my anger went towards Peter. I thought, because of him I came to Hong Kong. Because of him I have to work hard. Because of him I'm not happy. Why did I marry this guy? You know, I picked the wrong guy. You know, all these things. But whenever I let my anger out, my husband was nice and kind and just took all the blames from me. And he never got mad at me for how I behaved. But he took every blame from me all the time. So whenever I realized that I was so mean to him, I pray and God, ask God for forgiveness. But that was it. Sunday, I repent. And Monday, I became the angry wife again. At the time, I really wanted to drop everything. I wanted to hide somewhere. No one can find me. And finally, the time came, and that time for me to rest. On September 2014, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. When I first heard that I had cancer, for 2 seconds, I was very happy because I didn't have to go work anymore. And when I realized what I actually had, I was like, I have, like, what? And me and Peter didn't know what to do because we couldn't even cry. And because we were just so scared of what was about to come. And not only that, we had all these worries where to get the treatment and how we're going to pay for the rent and the treatment and who's going to take care of me, all these things. But again, God is great. He took care of everything, every worries we had, and provided everything we needed for me to rest. Peter, as a medical student at the time, tried his best to find me the best doctor for my treatment. And he brought me to this older doctor to consult the direction of the treatment. And you know, doctors, they always say the worst situations to patients. And when I heard that, I was crying and crying and worried. And at the time, the doctor asked me a question. Do you believe in God? And I said, yes, I do. And then he said, first of all, don't worry too much because we are going for cure. And I will try my best as a doctor to cure you. But what I can do is limited. So you should pray God to help me and help you, us together to win this battle. I have never heard a doctor saying this. His ability is limited, so trust God. And when I heard that, I felt so much peace, and I knew this peace wasn't coming from the doctor, but from God. God knew the fear I had and took care of it just like that. And one of the biggest worries I had when I found out I had a cancer was surviving in Hong Kong financially. It was the week of Sunday, I found that I had cancer. Me and Peter came to SB and asked God to help us to fight against the cancer in this situation. We were so scared and desperate. We really didn't know what is coming to us and how to deal with it. I remember me and Peter were worrying and crying while PSM was preaching. And at the end of the sermon, all of a sudden, PSM prophesied, I feel like some of you guys here today needed help financially. And if you are one of them, raise your hand. When I heard that, I started weeping and weeping. And me and my husband, we put our hands up and surrendered to God. Because we were so scared and desperate. I really needed God to be with us to go through this. During that service, God again took care of our financial burden. People we never met before at church helped us so much. Some people gave everything they had in their pocket, and our friends also helped us so much to the point where we didn't have to worry about paying rent or buying medicines until I finished my treatment. Not only that, they wrote me letters with Bible verses for healings and continuously checked up on how I was doing and prayed for me. Before that happens, I didn't understand how people can give so much to people they don't even know. But now I know that it is only God who can make impossible things possible. Not only has God healed me, but He also restored my marriage and helped me realize that my husband, Peter, is the greatest gift from God. Yes, the husband I hated for the first 3 years of my marriage. When I was sick, I regret the times I wasted with anger and that I took Peter for granted and didn't show how much I love him. Without Peter, I wouldn't be able to stand strong in fighting this battle. And also, it may have taken longer time to come to meet God. It was him who brought me to SP and house church and GIS class. He never stopped to draw near to God. It was also him who has stood strong and prayed for me day and night from the beginning until now. One of the side effects I, as a breast cancer patient, had to go through was hair loss. Even before starting the chemotherapy, my oncologist kept reminding me to be prepared mentally, because a lot of ladies have a hard time emotionally when they are experiencing hair loss. One morning, I woke up and find my hair is falling on my pillow, and I was shocked. And I don't know why, I hide them all and told Peter that I want to go shave off my hair. So we went out to buy a shaver and came home, and I was standing in front of the mirror to shave. But I was so scared. I don't know why I was so scared, but I felt like I was about to lose my identity as a woman and also myself. And my husband came to me and hold me tight and looking in my eyes, told me, "Don't worry, it's just the hair. It doesn't change who you are. Let me show you." Then he started to shave up his hair, smiling and saying, "See, I'm Peter. It doesn't matter whether I have short or long hair. It's me. We will do this together." And he continued shaving his hair and kept it short until my hair started to grow back. After all these days we have been through together, I know that without Peter, I wouldn't be able to come this far and get to meet Jesus. I'm so blessed to have such an amazing person as a husband, the amazing gift from God. The year of 2014 and 15 has been the most toughest years I have ever experienced. But also it was the time I received so much love from everyone around me, especially from God. I cannot forget the day I was outside sitting near the river at Shatin on the hot day, listening to the song, "Your Presence is Heaven," to me. And I don't know why I was weeping and weeping, and people were looking at me worried, but I couldn't stop crying because I felt like God is pouring out so much love over me and telling me, "Everything will be okay. Just come to me. I will give you rest." Of course, from time to time, the fear of death comes and bothers me a lot. Especially, I struggled with the verse John 16:24 I memorized while taking GIS class. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive. Your joy will complete." I was wondering, what if God does not provide me what I ask for? And at that time, I was asking God, basically, heal me and help me to live longer. So many days, the thought of what if bothered me. And I realized that I was very selfish and stupid, having such doubt. What I realized I should do instead was to give thanks to God for giving me every single moment I get to spend with my family and friends. And I also realized that no matter how long my life here in this world, it's going to be great because God is with me. And when my time ends in this world, I have a bigger and greater future ahead with Him. Today is a very special day as I am ready to take the next step with walk with Christ to identify myself as a Christian in front of everyone. I know my words are few to describe the amazing work God has done in my life, but one thing I can say with confidence is that God is real and His promises are true. I also want to promise God in front of everyone that there is no more turning back and I will follow Him forever. Lastly, I also want to take this opportunity to thank everyone here at SB, especially the Well and Lion Rock House Church, Mauern House Church, GIS classmates, pastors, for your prayer and support. And also want to thank God for providing me such a wonderful community where I can encounter God and grow in faith together. Thank you.
Amen. It's wonderful. Huh? Do you receive Michelle as your sister in Christ? Amen.
So my name is Angela, and growing up, I always believed that there was a God. I didn't know which God was real, though. I went to a Roman Catholic church for Chinese school once a week, and my family was into Buddhism and ancestral worship. And I thought it was fun to burn incense and other paper goods, just for the heck of it. So I prayed prayers on Saturdays and played with fire a few times a year. Years later, my mom forced me to attend a summer program instead of hanging around in the streets. So I went to a junior high program at the church that I attend back in New York City. Towards the end of the program was when I accepted Christ, but I still didn't have a tangible, real relationship with God. Even though I attended worship, served in youth group, and went to Bible studies, I just felt that I could only be happy with God or fear him, so he was a far away God. Then came 9/11/2001. God became really real really fast. Having to evacuate and seeing the buildings on fire because we lived so close to the Twin Towers put me at a complete loss. That whole day is still very vivid in my memory. Most of all, I lost a really close sister and friend that day. Throughout the few days of searching and praying in hopes to find her, I don't think I ever relied on God or asked for anything as fervently and as hopeful as I did during that time from anyone or anything. And when we were sent to go look for her name at the armory, where they had the master list of all the survivors in all the hospitals around, I was so hopeful and had so much faith that Jennifer's name would be on that list. In the end, her name wasn't. I was really angry at God and was so hopeless that at that point, never had I put so much hope into anything. I felt that God had failed our whole church and failed her whole family, who so faithfully served him and loved him. But under these circumstances, when I was angry, that was when he became real to me. He was no longer a faraway God that I can't grasp. I actually had feeling towards him other than fear or just sending happy thoughts to him. As I look back at how evident he was in my life, from trying to figure out a career path which led me to culinary school, to actually joining the workforce in the F&B industry and packing up my bags and moving away from my family and friends, he has provided every step of the way through the community that he has blessed me with. I have always said that I know he loves me from the community that he has given to me, whether it be growing up in New York City or moving here to Hong Kong a few years ago. Throughout my life, he has provided and given me a lot of things, and he has also taken away some very important things too. But in it all, I have seen blessings come out of it. Though it might not be immediate, and maybe at the time I don't count it as a blessing, but it is the community that overflows love out of, that also pours onto me, sometimes maybe a little bit too much. But it reminds me of his goodness and his faithfulness. And here I am today, about to get baptized, ready to declare and commit my life to him. I was ready a long time ago, but I always wanted my mom to be at my baptism to witness one of the most important events in my life, in hopes that she will come to Christ. But she's not here today. But after a sermon that our newly associate pastor Andrew gave on hope back in December, and then our house church discussion after, one of the questions that was asked that night was, how do we find hope or see the good when bad things happen? It made me think of 9/11. For one, God became a tangible God to me. He is my Lord. He became real even in the midst of all the anger and hate that was involved in that act. I still don't understand why God would allow it to happen, and I would much rather have Jennifer back. But I can't deny the fact that through this situation, many people came to Christ and came back to him. And through these people, others have been reached, lives have been restored. That's when I realized God chose me to be his daughter, and he chooses others to be in his kingdom too. It's not about who I like or who I want to come to Christ or have on this earth. Though it would be wonderful to have everyone that I love worshiping him together in heaven, but God already chose me, and I need to honor and commit to him. That doesn't mean that I'll stop praying for my mom to come to Christ. I will continue to faithfully expect her to come to him, as well as many others, because he continually restores and brings hope into each and every one of our lives. So here I am today.
Amen. So, do you receive Angela as your sister in Christ? And do you continue to commit to pray for her mom to come to Jesus? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Angela.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ben. I was born in Shanghai and was a non-Christian family. And up until I was 19, 18, when I moved to Canada, and I was never exposed to Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit. I remember the first time I was in my first year in college, and the classmate, a girl named Judith, she came to me, gave me a Bible for no reason, because I wasn't close to her, or we're just classmates. And not just a Bible, she also gave me a little book, How to Read a Bible. And there's, in the Bible, there's underlines, everything, so. But I didn't really care about it. I thought she likes me or something, and she gave me a Bible. until now, I realized that was Jesus' first time trying to approach me. And I didn't know better then, so that's that. And then I think back to 2009, and there's one of my coworkers invited me to his church. It was in Vancouver. One of the oldest church on Burrard Street in downtown Vancouver. It was just beautiful. And the first time I went there, it was like, cool. You know, I can tell people I go to church. So I was very surprised how I feel when I'm in the church and people pray and sing songs, worship songs. I feel very peaceful. And I actually close my eyes when they pray. I pray along or I sing songs with them. I feel like some lights shining on me from above. Back then, I wasn't Christian. I still go to church on a daily basis. Every Sunday, if I can make it. Then, 2012, I moved back to Shanghai. I wanted to find a church immediately, so I look everywhere, and this Chinese church, and this English church. I find SCF. And the first time I was there, actually, that's my turning point. First time there, I heard a story. It wasn't my personal story. It was the story I heard that day, first time I attended that church service. It was guest speaker, who is a pastor in the United States. He was there that day. He shared his story, and I'm going to share it now. Maybe you heard the story. Maybe I remember something wrong, but please bear with me. It's about the pastor. Every Saturday, he tried to decide a song to play the next Sunday. So he prays in the mornings. He got which song you would like me to play, which song you want to hear. And there's two songs came up in his mind. I remember first was In the Garden, and the second one is Jesus Paid It All. These two songs just came in his mind, and he was like, okay, sure. And then that day, he went to supermarket, and there's an old lady was shopping and just walked by him. She was singing one of the songs. And then he was like, wow, okay, you really want to play this song, okay. And then that night, his mom calls me. I calls him. My mom never calls me. Calls him, say, out of blue, she said, when I die, on my funeral, I want you to play In the Garden. So that's exact two songs were appearing in his mind. So then he said, okay, I'm definitely going to play them. And so the next day, he played the first song. And one guy in the congregation just jumped on the chair, actually. And he's like, yes! He's like, say, I know this song, I know this song! Everyone just look at him like he's crazy. And the second song played, he does the same thing, this guy. And nobody knows him, he's new to the church, and he was like his favorite football team just scored a goal or something. And everyone was just so surprised, someone, you know. And then later on, the story actually traced back to months ago. This guy is actually one of the autistic guy who actually never left his house. One of the church member find out there's a guy living in the town. He never left his house in his life, so he's trying to help. So he goes to his house. He always get rejected at the door, but he didn't give up, and he goes every week. And every week he get rejected by the door. And months passed. Finally, this guy got touched and let him in. And And they're just hanging out every week, just talk and they chat, they hang out. And finally, the church members say, okay, why don't you go to church with me one day? Let's go to church on Sunday. And of course, the autistic person, he was like, no, I can't. I don't know what to do. What do you guys do there anyway? And he's like, we just sing songs and we pray. It's nothing big deal, no big deal. And it's like, I don't know any songs. So the church member say, okay, I'll teach you a couple. So then he teached him in the garden, and Jesus paid it all. His only two songs he ever taught this guy. And the first time this guy attended to this church, and these two songs played. So I know there's coincidence, but this is pure act of God. That wasn't my personal story, but I feel really connected to this story because I am a shy person to something new. When I come to church, I always sit in way back on the corner. So I feel very connected to this guy, and I feel some way that Jesus reached my heart again through all these years. And then I think 6 months ago, I moved to Hong Kong and I met Kevin. He invited me to hear an SP on New Year's Eve, and I had a really good time on New Year's Eve. I didn't go out for drinking. Instead of that, I came here and I felt like I find home. And everything feels right. Feels like God's calling me. And the Alpha course available after that, so I took it. Even though I miss a lot of classes, because my working schedule, sometimes I travel in the weekend. But at the last section, I accept Jesus into my life. And I feel this is the right time. So today I'm here, publicly declare my faith to the Lord to in front of all of you guys. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Amen. So do you receive Ben as your brother in Christ? Amen. Good job, man. That's good. Amen. As we continue to pray, why don't we rise to our feet and let's sing this song just to celebrate God's faithfulness. Huh? Let's worship the Lord. Go ahead.
Wow.
Can we take a moment and let's just pray for our three candidates. Let's just ask God to continue to bless them. Let's pray against the attack of the enemy. You know, the enemy hates this kind of stuff. It hates when we come and declare our faith publicly. And so let's just ask for God's covering over them. Let's pray blessing over their relationships, over their work. And the Lord would just continue to just stir in their heart, and they would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just lift them up right now. It's Angela, Ben, and Catherine. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our friends. God, thank you for the commitment that they've given. Father, we ask for protection. God, we thank you that greater is He that is in them than He that is in the world. God, and that you just want to do a deep, deep work in their life, Father God. So we pray continued strength, continued growth, God, that they would move, Lord, from grace to grace, God, from glory to glory, Father God, from hope to hope. That you would just really honor their lives, God. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you, God, for today. God, I was privileged, Lord, to be at all three services, God. I got to hear 10 stories, Lord, God. And their story is your story, Lord. God, of how you watched over them, God. Even before they knew who you were, how you cared for them, God. How you loved them through. How, God, you were with them in the most difficult points of their life, God. And you carry them through it, Lord. And we're here to celebrate you, God. Celebrate your faithfulness in their story, Lord. And so we pray that that story would continue to move forward, God, that it would be glorious, God, that you would continue to do a deep work in their life, Lord, that would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, God. We're, God, so honored, Lord God, to be part of this community, Lord, and to have such as these brothers and sisters with us as well, Father. And so we thank you. Watch over them. Watch over us this week, God, as we continue to live for you. And as we continue to be disciples, God, that go and share your faith with others. God, there's so many others around us, God, that also need to know your love, God, and also be baptized, Lord. And so we pray that you would lead us to them, God, and then empower us, Lord, to share our faith in a way that's relevant, in a way that's real, God, in a way that's effective, Lord. And so we thank you. We bless you today, God. We love you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes face to shine upon you. And to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you? Please pray for our candidates. And if you see them, give them another big hug and congratulate them. Please buy some baked goods in the lobby. They're trying to raise money for the kids in Mongolia. And so please join along with us in that. Have a great week this week. God bless.